How did the name Wicked Man come about?
It actually came about, it's a name of a song that I wrote maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. And it was in a time in my life where I was incredibly unproductive, unhappy, and very confused. And so I didn't know what to do with myself. And there was kind of this really dark, morbid concept of myself that kept poking at me. And I decided that I needed to utilize that force in a better way than just sitting around. So I tried channeling it towards music. So that's what it's about.
Well, that leads nicely into my next question. I was going to ask you, Yona, and everyone else can feel free to jump in on this as well. But what was your progression as a musician like? Did you begin songwriting with more of a traditional structuring, or did you kind of dive headfirst into this more progressive sound?
Well, the first song I wrote was about grilled cheese, so I'd say it started out as very traditional and has progressed.
As you know, most songs are written about
more songs are about grilled cheese
than any other.
I mean,
subject.
It's a common denominator right here.
Well, for me, I started playing music pretty young. I played piano first, and then my parents said they kind of made me a deal where if I played piano for 2 years, then I could get a guitar. And so after 2 years of piano, they're like, "Well, do you still how's it going? How's it coming?" I was like, "I really need a guitar in my hands." So that happened and progressed, and then eventually I picked up bass also. So now I play both things.
And how about Andrew on keyboards? Did you have a similar deal with the parents to begin on keyboards and then work into other instruments, or?
Yeah, kind of worked out like the other guys here. I started on keyboard when I was, I think, a first grader, and then picked up guitar a few years later, and then drums early in high school, and then when I got to college, I kind of went back to piano to focus on. So that's where I did piano in the music program at UC Santa Cruz, and piano's been where my heart's been at since.
And then Peter is the latest addition to the band on drums. Can you tell us a little bit about how you first got started as a musician?
I was similar to Justin and Andrew. I started on piano, but I didn't like my teacher. And my parents did not make me stay with it, so I quit after 2 weeks. And then switched to guitar. Same thing happened. I didn't like my teacher, and I didn't really like the guitar either. So I was learning Metallica songs. I got over that pretty fast, so I switched to drums and just been doing that ever since.
How did you all meet and start working on music together?
Interesting you ask. We all met in Santa Cruz at different times. I met Yona when we were about 18, but it took him 5 years to work up the guts to ask me to join his band, I guess.
It's
and
like
then
a date.
I had been playing with Justin and Peter off and on the last couple of years, and then slowly but surely they fiddled their way into this band, whittled their way, some people say.
With no knives involved.
Just a screwdriver. Oh, we need you.
And how does the
whittled their way? Sorry.
Sorry, Nolan.
How does the writing process work within the band?
Usually starts out with like a song structure that I'll bring to the table, like the lyrics and kind of the general structure of the song. And then it's like from there, it's a really collaborative, colorful process in which the skeleton of like an image is colored in and shaded with all sorts of styles that all these people are bringing to the table. So that's generally how it goes down. Which is really cool because I think that makes it a more unique sound, because I don't think from the get-go the skeletons of my songs are like in a certain style that I think we're creating in this form. So it's tight.
Yeah, we all come from different kinds of musical backgrounds, so right. Each person kind of adds their own colors and flavors, and it turns out completely different than it would be if only one person wrote it on their own.
Let's talk about those backgrounds a little bit. What would you say are the different musical backgrounds that people are coming from?
Well, I kind of, the first time I took a lesson, I was 19 years old. So I kind of just taught myself music by ear and didn't really have any formal training until I was older and kind of had this relationship with music where it was just whatever I listened to, whatever inspired me, I wanted to play, and I'd figure out how to play it. I know that these folks are heavy jazz heads, so I don't really have that background, and it's really cool to see that combination because that's definitely a common denominator for them. For me, I think it's more of like a folk tradition that I come from, and I like to consider my songs somewhere in that vein, even though they're very far from that now. Yeah,
so I would say I come from like a folk background also, and I used to tell people when they ask me what kind of music I play that I play bluegrass and jazz, just to kind of shut them up and also kind of give a short and sweet answer. And so that's, I guess, a good description for me.
For me, I started out, like, just bashing on, like, Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix for, like, 6 or 7 years. And then, like, I got into jazz. I went to a Stanford Jazz Workshop, like, 8th grade. And I've just been in love with jazz ever since. That's kind of my main thing.
Yeah, and then I've been playing jazz and some classical piano since, I guess, middle school age. But then I had my angsty alt-rock phase in high school, which in some ways influences some of the things I play, but a lot of it comes from having learned theory and classical training kind of stuff pretty early on, so that definitely informs the way I play now.
Hmm. So now we're going to talk a little bit about being a band based out of the East Bay Area, and the Bay Bridge described you as a great representative of an East Bay scene that's pushing new music in new places. I'm wondering, would you say that's a fair assessment of your band and the East Bay's current musical landscape?
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're pushing each other in totally new directions, and we don't always even know completely where we're going.
I feel like that in and of itself is, to me, the most important thing over whether or not we have a concept of where we reside in a scene or if we're pushing it or not, like whether or not we're pushing ourselves to be better musicians and better humans is kind of more important to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Hell yeah.
But a lot of that is also inspired by being around a lot of really creative people in the East Bay. And there is a lot of talent of so many different genres that's going on there. So it's definitely good to be around that.
Yeah, I noticed that like immediately after moving to the Bay. Just the, like the almost the mystique of having heard about so many records being made, like, from Fantasy Studios in Berkeley to, like, back to Oakland Tower Power Record, like, as I would drive over the Bay Bridge, that is a different Bay Bridge than that's on that record because it was way older, but still, like, just having that idea of, like, pushing the limits in the 30 or 40 years of music making or more that's been going on in Oakland, I feel like becoming a part of that is pretty interesting.
What are some of the things happening in the Bay Area right now in the musical culture that you're excited about?
Good question.
Excited about
it. I was actually going to, I thought you were going to say that you're worried about it, because I have a lot to say about that, but.
Yeah. Well, let's get into that. What worries you?
Well, what worries me is just the cost of living in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, John Vandersloot said, like, you'd be a fool to start a band in the Bay Area right now.
Well, San Francisco specifically.
San Francisco, but yeah. I mean, it's
but
all.
Bay Area, too.
I mean, it's all connected.
It's,
and
it's an extension, like, East Bay. Probably like 4 years behind at this point.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen a lot of artists relocating out of the area, or just even moving completely, not just to, you know, to the East Bay or otherwise, but like completely out of the Bay so they can continue to pursue art?
I think that is absolutely happening, and I think to be dedicated in the way that I think we all want to be. Sadly, it's not going to pay for a long time, if ever.
And it's only getting worse.
Right.
Faster and faster.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I can afford to live there in 2 years from now.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're not, you know, as much, I think, trying to focus on that as much as just doing what we can, and if it gets to that point later on, we'll get there. But yeah.
Sounds good.
For now, it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of doing what you can, can we talk for a minute about Yona Bird and
Oh God. How did you hear about that?
I read things online, and I'm wondering if we can talk about that. Or can you tell us who Yona Bird is?
He's a demented figure that somehow made his way into the hearts of young children in America. I don't know. Not much else to say. No, he's a way to make money and to lighten my load a little bit and to have a good time, not take myself so seriously.
And
that's, I think,
provide
that's,
education to and, young people. As a music teacher weekly at preschools?
Yeah. So totally. If you're a preschool teacher, now would be the time to turn off the radio. No, it's cool. It's really amazing. I mean, what I really like about working with kids that age, like I'm talking 4 and under, is that I've said this before, but like their connection to music is so freaking like real, in the sense that they have to move when they're listening to music. There's no choice for them. Their bodies and their minds are so connected, whereas as we develop as humans, I always see this, for me, like a disconnect. I can go to a show, I can play a show, look at the band, just be judgmental and just like, with my arms crossed. And like children literally have no choice. They are jumping around, like they feel the music in a way that is so raw and like so amazing to see. Like maybe that's where all humans start out with their relationship with music, is like that. And because of their experiences, whatever happens. But like that's kind of the stomping ground for music, which is really cool.
Do you find that doing this kind of work reinvigorates your passion for music, and you know, you kind of feed off of this kid, the kids, and their how pure their connection is with music?
I think so. I think it's kind of like, I mean, I've actually tested songs that are not children's songs on these kids. Like, they're like a really good fan base to like tap into, to like see what makes you move and what doesn't, because they'll have like a real natural reaction to it. So like, if you try something, then you're like, oh, maybe this will like jive with like 35-year-old cranky men. And then you try it out on some infants and they're not interested. Chances are neither will the 35-year-old. Babies are awesome. They are, I'm talking babies, like not infants or toddlers, like babies that can't walk. All they can really do when they listen to music is like, put their head up like slightly towards the like the sound source and just like wiggle a little bit, but like it's pretty awesome. That's kind of my favorite audience, the babies.
Nice. new side project, Wicked Baby instead of Wicked Man. So you're currently on tour to Canada. I'm wondering, do you have a kind of a following established up there, or is it more of just a destination for performance that you've kind of had in your minds for a while?
So I grew up in Vancouver, Canada, hence the final destination being Vancouver, Canada. I have a lot of friends and family that would definitely come out to see us in Vancouver. It's a wonderful place, and it's really exciting to come back with all these people.
Is there any sort of distinct difference in the way Canadians interact with music or, you know, create music that you can, you know, speak to, you know, being from there and then experiencing, you know, different scenes across the Bay Area and the West Coast?
I had one experience with the Bay Area, but I just had one experience with emailing someone who worked at a radio station in Canada who was extremely welcoming in a way that other people were not in our communication to such entities and media outlets, and that struck me as different, but it's just an isolated incident, so I don't really know.
Anything you want to add to that, Yona?
About Canada? So yeah. There's this thing in Canada called a poutine. It's amazing. It's French fries, gravy, cheese, and then you eat it. That's all it is. There's not much more to it than that. I think we're going to experience that. We probably will experience some snow. The shows will be fun in their own sort of way. And most excitingly, I'm really looking forward to the sushi, because sushi is like Mexican food in California, and that it's everywhere and it's very cheap, and that's awesome. And it's really miss it.
Yeah, we really like the cheap part.
Yeah.
Nice. Have you ever had any difficulty crossing the border, or is there any sort of barriers they put up for American bands traveling back and forth?
Definitely.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Well, the idea is that the Canadian economy wants money from the economy going to Canadian artists and American artists not taking out of that. So I'll be traveling with my Canadian passport. I enlarged it on the car so that when we pass through the border, all they see is like a huge version of my passport, so they know I'm Canadian, and they won't even question the other people in the car. It's going to be great. So that's going to work out real well.
Is that real?
No, it's not real.
It doesn't sound that far-fetched to me. I was on board with it.
I was like a really big poster.
Seemed very practical.
I totally believed you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Now you have to do it for reals.
Yeah, yeah. Please do. That'll be great.
What would you say are some of the greatest benefits of actively touring as a band?
Getting tight, getting solid.
Playing every night.
Yeah. A lot of it is connecting with individual people that we meet. Like
you.
We got to meet you. And that's really cool, because a lot of different people do a lot of different things and wear a lot of different hats, me included. Like, I do film work and photography stuff and editing and, like, all this other shit, but...
poop.
Yeah. Oh, whoops, poop. Anyway. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're not live.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're not live, right.
It's important, I think, to connect with individual fans and, like, meet new people in different places and kind of like spread our tentacles a little bit. I think that's one of the biggest benefits.
I agree with you, and I'm going to just kind of dig a little deeper into that. Why do you think it's important to meet with people in person individually?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. People will remember a face and a personality more than they'll remember a text on an email or a text message. Or
I forget who said this, but someone said, people will forget what you say or what you do, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is kind of what I take to heart every time I go out and do this. And like,
that's great.
What we want people to get out of the interaction, not necessarily in the self-conscious way so much as like how can we just... like broaden our obviously our fan base, but like get to know the world in this way, and if we're gonna do this as a career or anything that resembles a career, I feel like we should figure out as best we can how to do it as quick as possible.
All right. Well, this leads. We're gonna get into the song here in a second. What song are you playing for us today, and what can you tell us about it? And make sure you get nice and crisp for this answer here.
So the song we're playing is the fifth song on the EP that we just released called Tyrannian Tremors, and the song title is Cry for Once. I'd say it's probably our most like melancholy soft song on the EP. It's really fun to play. It has kind of a darker subject. Should I talk about that? it's just kind of a tricky subject to talk about, but especially considering my perspective, but it's mostly surrounding my guilt as a white person living in a pretty racist society and being kind of unclear on how to utilize that privilege and how to, you know, be in a position like an artist and try and do good for the world and not impact it. So that's kind of, it took place. I wrote the song after another just like murder of an innocent black person and actually in the Bay Area. And it just seemed so unright. And so that's kind of what the song's about. Yeah.
Thanks
thank
for
you
having
so
me.
Much.
Yeah, thank you guys.